Hey guys, and welcome to the Animal Training Academy podcast show. I'm your host, Ryan Cartledge, and I'm really excited that you have decided to take time out of your busy schedules to come and hang out today. We're really grateful for you tuning in. And if you have been listening to the podcast for a while, we really appreciate this. Thank you so much. Hopefully you have subscribed so that you never miss an episode. But if not, or if you are new to the show, get yourself over to iTunes, Stitcher, animaltrainingacademy.com, or whatever it is you're listening to this podcast on, and hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss a single episode. We are bringing you today's episode on behalf of the Animal Training Academy, or ATA, membership. If you like the conversations in these podcasts, then I want to invite you to continue them with like-minded people within the ATA membership area, which you can find out more about over on the ATA website. Within the membership, you can get access to twice monthly live web classes, the back catalogue of previous web classes, plus a huge library of videos and projects to problem solve different training situations. And we're a sociable bunch with an exclusive private Facebook group, forums area, and WhatsApp chat groups. It's like a Netflix social media platform for animal behaviour nerds. But we will get started on today's episode, where we will be talking to one Nick Benger. Nick is a professional dog trainer that specializes in what he calls engagement training for pet dogs. He runs his business, Bark, Play, Teach, in his hometown of Bristol, England, but is best known as the host of the Dog Talk with Nick Benger podcast. As a big fan of podcasts, he decided to start his own in 2016. This gave him the chance to geek out with some of the best trainers in the world and amass a following in the process. Now, thousands of people have tuned into the weekly episodes, many of which discuss them on his dedicated Facebook podcast discussion group. Nick is currently working on his first book on dog training and promoting engagement training for pet dogs. So without further ado, it's my very great pleasure to welcome one Nick Benger to the show today, who is patiently waiting by. Nick, how are you?
How are you, Ryan? Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I'm doing good, mate. We're at a 12-hour difference this morning.
Evening pretty crazy.
For you.
Evening for me, early morning for you.
Yeah, and so thank you for making time on your Sunday evening to come and hang out with us. We really appreciate that.
No worries.
We're going to dive straight into the first question today, Nick. Could you please take us all back to where you first learned about positive reinforcement animal training and share some stories from that time?
I had a funny start in dog training because when I was young, I got my first Labrador when I was about 15, little puppy, and he just had every kind of training and behavior problem you can have. You know, he was running away and he was chewing things up and he was just kind of causing mayhem. And this was at the prime of like Cesar Millan, Dog Whisperer on the TV. And I just got into that, became this huge Cesar Millan fan. I used to like have the pack leader t-shirt, read all his books. Like it was intense. Like I know I've heard people tell that story before, but I was like a dedicated fan. And I used to go on YouTube and like other forums and stuff. And I would get in arguments with people about Cesar Millan. Like I would be defending my hero, you know, like when people would say, you know, pack leader training has been debunked and you shouldn't be doing it and all this kind of thing, you know, I would get in these like, you know, vicious arguments with people online, and they would keep recommending two books, Don't Shoot the Dog by Karen Pryor and The Culture Clash by Gene Donaldson. And one day I just thought, you know what, screw it, I'm just gonna try it, I'm just gonna order Don't Shoot the Dog. So I ordered it. I started reading it, and I was about two chapters in, and it just kind of like blew my mind. I was just like, wow, you know, there's legitimate science behind this, and I've been doing it wrong. And I was really confused. And yeah, from that point on, I was just really hooked. So that's how I got into positive reinforcement training. And yeah, loving it.
What was your dog's name?
My dog's name is Chester. I've still got him. So he's 10 years old now. Yeah.
Chester the lab. And so you said it was confusing for you. How did you manage that confusion? What happened next?
Well, I was confused because I kind of acknowledged that there was operant conditioning, right? And there was classical conditioning, and I was starting to understand learning theory, but I didn't understand how this could fit in with what I thought that I already knew about dog training, in terms of that dogs, it seemed to me at that time that the main cause of all of dog problems were that they were trying to be the pack leader. That's what I thought. So I was trying to find, where this new knowledge fitted in with what I already thought that I knew. So yeah, that's where the confusion came from. And actually, what really cleared, so at that point, I started experimenting with positive reinforcement training and getting more results. And I became really, really hooked on trick training. So I taught him a load of tricks just because I was really enjoying it. And then I was still really confused about dominance in dogs. And I picked up Barry Eaton's book, Dominance in Dogs, Fact or Fiction. And that really pushed me over the edge at that point. And I realized that dominance in dogs really isn't a factor when it comes to training dogs.
Awesome. And so now you are living in my wife's hometown, Bristol, England, and you are running your business. And I mentioned in the bio there, you are doing something that you're calling engagement training. Can you unpack that label for us? What does engagement training mean?
Right. So what I think it works best if I tell you the story behind that. So I became, you know, I did my degree and I became a professional dog trainer, and I set my business up and I started getting more and more dogs in for recall training. So I was doing what all the books say when it comes to recall training. You know, I was teaching these dogs to come back to the word come. And actually, I started doing emergency whistles at that point as well. So I was getting there with my kind of recall training understanding. But like, they just kept getting the same problem, that these dogs would come back, but they never wanted to stay with their owners, right? Like, we could, and there's a difference between recall and engagement. And I go into this more in my content. You can have a dog that has a great recall, but no engagement. And what that looks like is the dog will run back to you, it will take the reward, and then it will just immediately run off again. And it's like, well, that doesn't really solve the problem, right? Because we want to go on a walk and we want to have a good time. And if the dog is just on the other side of the field from you all the time, it doesn't even matter if you can call them back, because they're already so far away. So at that point, I had a problem. I realized that I needed to figure that out. And it was kind of like an epiphany moment for me, where I realized that recall, as we generally think about it, it really doesn't come down to the one problem. It's not just training the dog to come back. You actually have two problems. You need to train the dog to come back, but you also need to train the dog or encourage the dog to want to stay with you. So that's where I got into engagement training. And so what I did there is I started kind of just developing my own ideas on how I can encourage dogs to want to stay with me. So this is what my book is going to be about. And I've wrote a small kind of engagement guide, which a lot of people have downloaded and enjoyed, which is kind of like a brief version and introduction to it, where, and that just kind of goes through the basics of teaching dogs check-ins and teaching dogs what I call auto check-ins. So the difference there is a check-in is where the dog looks back at you. An auto check-in is where the dog looks back at you when it sees a distraction, like another dog or a bike or something like that. So that is what most people would think of maybe when they think of engagement training, just some basic check-in work. But I've taken that a little bit further and I've kind of investigated that a lot more. And I really think that's going to be revolutionary for pet owners, because I think that that is a major cause of the problems that is not being addressed. Because when I started doing that, when I started doing engagement training with pet dog owners, what I found was that not only were, say, recall training going much better, but actually things that we hadn't even worked on was improving, right? So lead walking training was improving because the dog didn't want to get away from its owner all the time now. Now it wanted to stay with its owner more because they were having a good time. I remember one session I did with this lady with a collie, and she was just she was breaking down. You know, she really didn't have much relationship with her dog. We started doing engagement training alongside recall training, and 2 weeks later, I just remember seeing her pull up in a car, and she was just smiling and like there's just the relationship difference in those 2 weeks was just phenomenal. So I've become really passionate about this engagement training. And I'm not for a moment saying I invented it, because once I started playing with it, I realized that people have been doing this in the dog sports world for quite some time. They've been doing this. It's just not being translated to, or it's not came over to pet dogs. So that's kind of my mission at the moment.
I'm engaged. Hey, where can people go to find out more about this? You said you had a, what do you label it as, a template, something for people to download?
Yeah, so I haven't advertised this in a while, actually, but what people can do is they can go to barkplayteach.com/the-engagement-guide, and there will be a sign up link there. So full disclosure, you put your email address in, I send you over the engagement guide, and you also get signed up to my email list. So for example, when I put out my podcast, you'll get notified of that and that kind of thing. So I'm not I want you to be clear that you are getting signed up to my email list as well, but I'm not just spamming you. Like, it is good content, and if you love Ryan's podcast, then I think that you'll probably enjoy mine as well. I hope so anyway.
How dare you send us stuff that's relevant to what we do? No, I'm just joking. But thank you for that full disclosure. I appreciate that. And so we're asking people go to find out more about you and find your podcast show and all of the things that you're doing. You said you had a Facebook group.
Yeah, so the Facebook group is Dog Talk with Nick Benger podcast discussion group. So you just search that on the bar and that will come up. In terms of finding the podcast, there are two main places. If you're using a podcast app, then just search for the Dog Talk with Nick Benger podcast, and that should pop right up. Or you can go to my website, which is nickbenger.com.
Awesome. And I want to link to all of the stuff in the podcast write-up for you listeners out there, so you don't have to put any effort into this. You can just go to the podcast link and click on all of the nice blue writing, and it will take you to all of these places. And podcasts is what we're going to geek out on today. So we're going to do something slightly different in the podcast show, or podcast episode, I should say. Moving forward, Nick and I are going to talk about podcasting, aren't we, Nick? Because
yeah, definitely. And also, we should say that this is going to be less of a kind of Ryan interviewing me episode. I said to Ryan, we need to have a back and forth, because Ryan has got this really successful podcast. He's got a huge amount of episodes. He's got a lot to add to this discussion as well. So I think it works better if we can have a bit of a back and forth, and we can share our own knowledge and our own experience of podcasting.
Yeah, and I'm down for that. We'll both get into the, as Teresa McEwen says, passion talking groove, and passion talk the out of this episode. I can't swear on this podcast. I can, but I'm not going to, because I have to mark it as explicit, and that's just extra work. And when you're making a podcast, you want to minimize.
See, mine get default listed as explicit at this point, Ryan. I don't even bother.
That's the smarter thing to do. Before we do move on, though, thanks for sharing your story, Nick. Really appreciate hearing about your, we call them people's behavioral odysseys here, and you've definitely had one. Have you still got your Caesar Milan t-shirt? What'd you do with that?
I don't really know. It got too small for me, that's for sure. I remember it just kind of sat in the wardrobe for a long time, and then, like most of my clothes, it just disappeared.
I have a Caesar Milan book on my shelf. Someone knew I was into dogs, and they thought I would want it. So I took it, and I feel like it's going to come in use for something one day.
I've got three or four on my shelf, actually. I just haven't thrown out. I kind of feel like they're part of my story, and even though I don't necessarily agree with Caesar Milan's methods, I'm not one for attacking people or hating people. I'm quite content to hold on to them, even though I don't necessarily agree with them.
I would love to get a Caesar on this show, but I don't think I'm a good enough interviewer to have that dialogue.
I think that there needs to be efforts to reach out, right?
Yeah, like I agree.
When I spoke to Grisha Stewart, actually, Grisha said on my podcast that she would happily have Caesar come along and do some training with her. So I think that that's needed, and it's needed not just in reference to Caesar, right? Like, our community of dog training is so divided, and there needs to be more communication between various groups, and it needs to be more open and less attack orientated if we're going to move forwards with this.
We need to de-armor our keyboard warrior-ness.
Yeah, we need to have a productive conversation, right? Like, having a go at each other online, it's not working.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about podcasting, so this is relevant. Years ago, I was talking about getting someone who was a balance trainer on the show, and I was like, I'm keen to talk to them. And this person said, well, what would you talk about? And I was like, you know, Louis Theroux can go and kind of have these conversations with these difficult people and be successful. And my friend said to me, he said, Ryan, do you think you have the interviewing skills of Louis Theroux? And I said, no, it's legit because we've got to be careful, right? We don't want to put out information that's not accurate. Like that, it's so we have to, like, I before I get Cesar Millan on the show, I want to make sure that I'm 100% confident in my interview abilities and to do what you just suggested there and have that that dialogue that is full of the entire time what I would call mutual purpose and mutual respect.
Yeah, absolutely. And just this is one of the misunderstandings as well. And this is kind of going into what we're going to be talking about with podcasting. But just because you're interviewing someone or you're talking to someone doesn't mean that you agree with everything that they're saying. And there's a weird thing about that. And also, I think sometimes people try to assign motives to people. Actually, do you know what? I've been thinking about this a lot since listening to your episode with Chirag Patel, where he was talking about assigning motives to people. And I think people do that a lot. You know, if someone's trying to have a discussion about a controversial topic, then we assign motives to them and we try to shoot them down. And you see this online all of the time. And it's not productive. So yeah, I would definitely have balanced trainers on my podcast. And that doesn't mean I agree with them, but I just want to have more of a communication and an open dialogue because I think that would be better for our community.
Yeah, as Steve White said in a recent episode I did with him, which would be a few ones before this, we've got to get curious. We've got to ask why and jump in that conversation. So I'm super curious to learn more about the mindset of everyone. Hey, moving forward, as I said, we're going to do something slightly different than we normally do on this show, and we're going to have a bit of back and forth banter, something that, as you've already realized, podcast audience, Nick and I have in common, and something that's brought us together is our love of podcasting. I've noticed over nearly the 3 years the ATA show has been going, and I think Nick's show has been going for the same length of time, that more and more people in 2018 are getting curious about starting their own podcast show. I've had numerous friends reach out to me for input and say they want to get started, and I'm noticing more and more shows pop up, and the barriers to doing this stuff are starting to break down. In 2016, there wasn't as many services and it wasn't as easy to get going as it is in 2018. And I and me and Nick have talked about this, 100% fully support this. One massive goal that Nick and I have, and we've talked about this in previous conversations, we both have mutual purpose here, is to help more animals and their humans be successful. This is the whole purpose Animal Training Academy exists, and me and Nick realize together that we can do this better together than we can alone.
And also, I mean, one of the things that you've spoken to me about, Ryan, recently in private conversations, which I've been thinking about a lot, is this idea of an abundance mindset, right? Like that was the last conversation we had, and I've been thinking a lot about that. And that's something that I think we need to do better as well. And I'm talking about myself there a lot. I think that we need to help each other a lot more and stop thinking in this kind of way. I think you called it, was it for you that called it famine thinking? Am I right there, Ryan?
It wasn't me.
I heard someone say that. Yeah, it's still morning for you. You need your breakfast.
That's true.
Yeah. So this idea that there is, you know, there can only be so many podcasts, right? Like, no, you know, we can help each other out and we can share ideas. And I think that that is for the better of everyone.
So you semi-unpack that there, but there's still some wrapping paper on it, Nick. So unpack that a little bit more. What do you mean when you say abundance mindset?
Well, you're the one that taught me this, Ryan, so you can probably do a hell of a better job than me because I'm still mulling it over in my own head. I'm still thinking about that. You've left that with me.
Well, I guess me and you looking at podcasting would be like, okay, you know, Nick's doing a podcast. We're getting the same guests. We're talking about the same things. He's my competition. If I team up with Nick, then, you know, he's going to steal my audience, and then, you know, that's going to be bad, and it's not good. But the abundance mindset more says that there is enough pieces of the pie to go around. And you know, maybe you've been a listener of the show for ages, and once again, the goal of the show is to help more animals and help more of their people. And you might jump over to Nick's podcast and you might resonate with Nick more. And that is 100% fine, because then that's going to help us achieve our goal. And then Nick's audience might jump over here. So, and there is infinite number of people out there. And the opposite of that is a scarcity mindset. We are like, no, there's not enough. I've got to hoard all my own things and I've got to protect myself. And, it, you know, when you think about business and competition and all that kind of stuff, it's, do you become friends of your... we're talking business now. I don't view people in the animal training world like this. This is business talk. Do you become friends with your competitors, or do you push them away? But if you have the abundance mindset, you realize that there's enough to go around. And you've got to come back to why. Why are you doing this in the first place? Because if you start to go down that scarcity mindset, you lose focus of the reason that we're doing this stuff.
One of the things I try to remember is I was taught by someone, you know, I'm sure you were taught by some or multiple people. If those people hadn't taught me because they felt that I was going to be competition or whatever, then I might not be here. I might not have helped the dogs that I've helped, you know. So I think there is a duty to kind of give that back a little bit. And I try to remember that when people ask me for help, I try to be quite giving and pointing people in the right directions and helping them out, because I feel like people did that for me. So I have a duty to pay that back.
Awesome. So if you're someone out there who might be interested in creating, and I'm going to frame this, Nick, as creating some online content yourself about animal training, and you don't know where to start, or maybe you're already creating online content about animal training and you want some ideas to build on what you've already done, or there's an infinite number of ors here, but I'll just do one more. If you just want to sit back, relax, and geek out with us for the next hour, then I hope you enjoy this episode. Nick and I have gone ahead and put together a list of 9 things we think there's value in considering when making online content about animal training. The focus of this discussion is going to be about creating a podcast. We've got, me and Nick between us have got just under 100 episodes, I think, under our belts. So hopefully we have something valuable to say. And Nick, you and I were talking the other day that possibly you and I, and I kind of touched on this before, might be in a place or might be able to be placed in a bucket that might have the label early adopters on it with regards to creating podcasts about animal training. Can you maybe start us off with your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's funny because when I first, I started listening to podcasts years ago, but even then I think when podcasts first came out and even now they have this reputation of being kind of nerdy, and people even go to the extent of not calling their podcasts, right? That's where you get like, for example, I listen to the Joe Rogan Experience, right? Or the Tim Ferriss Show, right? Like people try to avoid that label podcast because that word podcast, it's still got this kind of like geeky, nerdy, intimidating like feel to it. And those of you that are listening are early adopters as well, right? Like you're listening to podcasts and a lot of people aren't listening to podcasts yet. So I feel even though in a sense we kind of got into this... Like, even though there were loads of podcasts around when we created our podcasts, we're still early adopters because so many people don't listen to them yet. So I feel like for someone that's thinking about making a podcast, like, there is still plenty of time. Like, it's a great time to be getting on that train because there's a lot of room for podcasts to grow, I think. And it would be of great value to have built a library of content so that people can go to your page and see that you've got 100 episodes or whatever. So, yeah, I think that this is a great time to get into podcasting.
Yeah, and I guess all of it depends on some of your goals around creating content as well, which you're going to talk about. So let's go through this, and thank you for that, Nick. Let's go through this top 9 list of things to consider if you want to start your own animal training podcast and/or create some online content. So we've got 1, numero uno, define the focus and goal of your show and/or content. Nick, you and I have talked in length over this over the last few weeks, haven't we? Can you please help unpack this for the audience? What do we mean when when we talk about defining the focus and goal of our show. What does that mean for you?
Right. I can see the list in front of me and I have to try not to go into anything else because it can be really easy for these to mesh together.
Hey, mate, passion talk, the... Once again, out of the audience's ears, if you go down that route, then that is A-okay.
Yeah, so what is a focus and goal of your show, right? Like, so I'm tempted to go into target audiences here, which I know is bad. But basically, what do you want to get out of your show? Like, what is your goal? So I remember me and Ryan, in preparation for talking about this, we were talking about how one of the big motivations for us getting into podcasting was the ability to interview people that we might never get the opportunity to talk to otherwise. So that was one of the goals for us, right? It's like a really selfish goal for our own personal development. Like, you know, I would never get the chance to talk to Ken Ramirez normally. Never. Like, Ken would have no idea who I am. But because I've got a podcast, I can send him an email and be like, hey, Ken, do you want to do a podcast with me? So I've kind of gotten in and then we can talk more. And through doing podcasting, I've made friends with so many people that I would have, well, I still do, I guess, look up to in the dog world. And I kind of remind myself every now and again, like, where I am. Like, when I'm on Facebook and I remember when I started this podcast, I wasn't friends with any well-known dog trainers or animal trainers or whatever. Well, now I'm on Facebook and I'm just like, these people have become my friends, right? Like, John McGuigan, for example, who we've both interviewed. I talk to John all the time, right? Like, when I first did that podcast with John, I was terrified. Now I talk to John like he's just one of my friends. So that is a selfish goal that we both started with. But I mean, I know for you, Ryan, one of the goals of your show, as well as, of course, I know you have aspirations to help as many animals as you can, but also you do that through the Animal Training Academy, and the podcast allows you to get people knowing what the Animal Training Academy is.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of a overall strategy that I have for creating content and building a community around that content, which is what you refer to as Animal Training Academy and the membership, which we talked about at the start of the episode. And Nick, I'm going to have to punish you right now for jumping ahead to the different number. No, I'm just doing. Got my season.
Well, Ryan,
I'm
what would be cool to talk leader. About?
Sorry, what?
What would be cool to talk about is that's what in business they call a lead magnet, right? So people come into your podcast because they want free content. They want to hear Ken Ramirez talk. They want to hear John McGuigan talk. They want to hear whoever, right? But from there, you come in. I feel awkward talking about this, and I don't mean to dehumanize anyone, but you come in as a lead, right? So you get familiar with Ryan, and then once you feel like you know Ryan and you've built up a bit of a relationship with Ryan, then you check out his other stuff, and maybe you go into the Animal Training Academy. So from a business perspective, that works well for Ryan. And that would work well for me as well. So for me, people might come into my podcast, get to know me, build up a bit of a relationship, and then they might purchase sessions or whatever. So that's a lead magnet for us, right? That helps us to get clients and that helps us to earn a living, even if it's not directly.
Yeah, and you as a podcast audience, I would love to meet each and every one of you and the Animal Training Academy membership gives me an opportunity to meet a small fraction of the thousands of people that listen to the show. And I base my assumptions on those thousands of people based on my relationships with the hundreds of people that make up the Animal Training Academy membership. And it did become, and I've really moved my mindset around this over time, that when you see people on your computer screen as a number saying, hey, we've had 2,000 people download your episode this week or whatever, then you got to remember that they're all people. And I think some people that get into this, they're creating on their online animal training content and they're going to try to get the most people to like their Facebook page and this, that, and the other. And they lose sight of potentially, and I'm speaking in absolutes here, Everyone's different and everyone's got different views on it. Something that I've experienced when I first started was potentially focusing more on that. But each single one of those is a person, and you've got those unique opportunities to connect to those people. So it's trying to look at a number on a screen and imagine like that translates to actual people out there listening.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my podcast only got 100 views. Well, have you seen what 100 people look like? Like, that's a lot of people. Like,
it is.
So it, just because you go on YouTube or whatever and you see that some famous podcaster has got like 1 million views on their podcast doesn't make your 100 views insignificant. Like, 100 views is a lot of people.
Yeah, and I guess what you're saying there earlier as well, if you're making animal training content, whether it's a podcast or you're thinking about doing a podcast, or you're creating a blog, or you're creating a meme to go on Facebook, or an online course, then with the blogs and the podcast, if you want to, it's up to you, depending on your goal, which you can talk about, you can use those to kind of introduce yourself to people. I kind of see the podcast as an introduction. It's like, so and a maintenance of relationship. Hey, if you've been following me for a while, let's go hang out again on Tuesday at 5:30 a.m. New Zealand time when the podcast goes live. Or if you find the episode on Facebook, it's like, hey, how are you? I'm Ryan. This is Animal Training Academy. This is what we do. If it's for you, great. If it's not, no worries.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got people that have listened to the podcast for a very long period of time and never purchased anything from me, but that's fine. You know, and also a lot of them will message me and say how much they're loving the podcast. Like, all right, that's not money, but I love those messages. Like, they really cheer me up and they really motivate me to continue to make podcasts. So that has a lot of value in itself. One of the things I think we kind of started to delve into there, which is our second point, is work out who your audience is. So this is something that I personally have struggled with, because when I started podcasts, I wasn't thinking about it deeply. I just wanted to talk to people and I wanted to just get going. But as my podcast has started to develop, I'm starting to come to the realization that I think that the podcast is more appealing to people that are professionals or have a serious interest in animal training. So that seems to be how my audience is developing. But if you can start your podcast with that in mind, then you come in with a huge advantage. Because if I had said I want to target dog owners, then I would probably structure my show completely differently. And I would make sure that everything is, you know, that we avoid technical terms and technical discussions as much as possible, and that we give people practical advice that is really going to help them with their dogs. But that's not what I did, because I love animal training and I love geeking out, right? Like, I can't help myself. I just love it. So selfishly, that's the way I took, and that's fine. I'm loving it. But if you can know who you want your audience to be and who you want this to appeal to, then that will make a big difference in how you want to structure your show or your blogs. Like, your blogs are the same thing. If you want to target animal owners or just pet owners, then you don't want to be coming in talking about complex learning theory, because you're just going to alienate people.
Yeah, so we jump to number two there, which is defining your audience. Is that where we're headed? Work out who your audience is. Number one is define the focus and goal of your content and your show. And I think Nick said there, you kind of define that over time. Same with me. I wanted to create online content about animal training. And someone said to me, why don't you do a podcast show? And then I happened to sign up for a platform to build my website that had podcasting features. And hence the show was born. There was none of this thinking. There was none of this. We're sitting here going, you should do this and you should do this. We both didn't do that, right? I kind of see it as like, imagine a real deep swimming pool and you don't know, if you want to create online content about animal training and you don't know where to start, this is also okay. So I kind of felt like at the start, I was jumping in this super deep swimming pool. I had no idea how to swim and I just kind of splashed around until I figured out what worked. And it's led us to sitting here today having this conversation. Sorry, go on, Nick.
It's better to have put something out there than to procrastinate for huge periods of time because you're trying to make it perfect, right? Like, it's better to just get started.
We're going to chuck a quote in here, and I cannot tell you who said the quote. If you know it, I'd really like to know, actually. But the quote is, "Perfection is the enemy of good enough, and good enough gets results." And the result is we're trying to help more animals, and we're trying to help more people. And so we're jumping ahead here to like one of the other steps, which is technical stuff. But someone said to me they wanted to start a podcast show recently, and I said, okay, cool, like, you know, where are you up to? And they're like, oh, we're waiting to, like, figure out what microphone we want and order a microphone and all of that stuff. And I said, do you have an iPhone? And they said, yes. And I said, cool, you have a microphone, go. And you're not potentially going to have that crispy, clear audio right from the get-go. But you could have, by the time you've ordered that microphone, got it, figured out your stuff, if you just use your iPhone, you could have had 5-10 episodes out already. Someone listens to that, they pick up information, they take it to their dogs, they take it to their clients. We're creating what we call ripples at Animal Training Academy. You're creating those ripples. So you do want to think, I think, define the focus and goal of your show, and you do want to think about your audience, but at the same time, we can't speak from experience there.
In an ideal world, you know that going in, but don't let that stop you from starting.
Agree. And with that, we're going back to step one now. Define the focus and goal of your show. Also, so Nick had some great points there, and one thing I wanted to talk about is potentially niching down as a way of kind of working out how you can fit into the podcast area. So do you want to talk to pet owners? Do you want to talk to professional trainers? Do you want to talk to someone else? Do you want to talk to zoo keepers? Do you want to talk to horse trainers? Do you want to talk to dog people? And if you can find a space in there, so maybe you want to create a podcast about scent work. There is a great podcast already out there on scent work, but maybe you can try and go in that direction rather than be all-encompassing, or maybe you want to be all-encompassing, and that also, I guess, comes down to your goals. What do you think, Nick?
Well, also you can start off niche and then develop, and that's quite a good strategy, I think. I remember hearing this on, I think, Tim Ferriss's podcast, and he's got one of the biggest podcasts in the world, where he was talking about how when he started off, he ran a blog, I think it was called The Human Experiment, right? So it was just, his blog was purely about experimenting on himself with various nutrients and tech and weird stuff. But now if you go to his podcast, he talks about a whole range of subjects, right? So he started off niche, built an audience, and then diversified. And I think that that can be quite a successful strategy.
So you're probably confused now by all the strategies we're telling you. And hopefully this conversation thus far is giving you food for thought. So the first two points we have about making online content about animal training, focusing on podcasts, is define the focus and goal of your show. Have a think about that. Who do you want to talk to? What specifically do you want to talk about? And then that's going to help you find out who your audience is. Number three is, based on the above, especially if you're doing a podcast, figure out your format. So interview style, you're the expert. I like to think that I don't want to be the expert. If I'm in a room, I want to be surrounded by people that are smarter than me. That's my theory. Hybrids, explicit. Do you want swear words on your show? Don't you want swear words on your show, in your blog, something else? What do you have to say on number three, Nick? Decide what format you want for your online content.
Yeah, well, like you, like you were saying about Steve White, I really believe in that curiosity. So I'm just of the same mindset that you want to be the dumbest person in the room, right? You just want to be, I just love learning, to be honest with you. So I love talking to people that have something to teach, and just people that will just like leave you with your mind blown a bit. Like, I just love that. But that's not for everyone. So, I don't know. I think it helps to shout out podcasts on this, because I listen to so many podcasts and it kind of gives people a reference point. So, one of my other interests is UFC. There's a very successful... I don't know if you can hear that. Lizards are just like... I'm in my reptile room and the lizards are just flying around. That's another one of my hobbies. But one of the things I love watching is UFC. And there's a UFC podcast called... ran by a guy called Jack Slack. And he is basically very well known for his ability to break down mixed martial arts fighting and give really deep theoretical understandings of it and different moves and stuff like that. So he doesn't interview anyone. He's the expert. And in his podcast episodes, he just talks for an hour or so about the latest fights, various techniques and all that kind of stuff. So for some people, that's going to work really well. And that's great, and all the better. So yeah, I think you have to choose what works best for you. And I can see the next one we've got is hybrids, right? So you don't even have to choose necessarily. So our friend Hannah Branigan, who does the Drinking from the Toilet podcast, she has interview style podcasts and she has expert style podcasts. And that works well for her. So you can mix it up as well. So, but it's something to consider.
You know, I think there's I love what Hannah does. And so hashtag hop over to Hannah and we can put a link to her podcast show in the write up for this one because we love it so much. But I think there's genius in that because if you're interviewing people, cool, you show your connectivity, you get other people's perspectives, you add to that pool of meaning by getting people like, you know, I'm learning about engagement training. It's not something that I had in my vocabulary before. And you additionally are positioning yourself, depending on the goal of your podcast or your online content. If you want to make animal training content because you just want to connect with people, then maybe this isn't so important to you. But if you want to use it as part of your overall strategy for a bigger project like I do with Animal Training Academy, maybe you want to position yourself as a thought leader or an expert, or I don't like that label, but you choose whatever label you want. So maybe those single episodes or those single things where you're writing down specific advice and input is beneficial for you. It's not something that I really do in my show. I've kind of positioned myself as the connector and the facilitator. I call myself at Animal Training Academy. And so I do as that name suggests and try to position and just surround myself with people that are way smarter than me. And on that note, I think it was from a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I can never say his last name properly. The quote from that book, paraphrase quote, says, "Every man is your superior in so much as they can teach you something about something that you don't know." So if you are in a room, you are going to be surrounded by people that are smarter than you about something, right? And Steve White says, become curious. Number four, Nick, is differentiate yourself. Is this important? Is it important?
We've made a note there, which we've accidentally skipped over, but actually this kind of goes to the same thing. With the format your podcast, we're talking about explicitity, right? Are you going to swear on your podcast or are you going to play it straight? Right. So me and you have actually taken different approaches on this because for me, I'm fine with swearing. Like we're not just over there like swearing for an hour straight. Well, it depends who we've got on, I guess. But we don't avoid it. And you've taken a different approach. You've tried to avoid swearing on your podcast, but that's something that people have to make their own choice with. So when it comes to, and that can be a factor in differentiating yourself, which is obviously the fourth point. For example, my friend Dominic Hodgson, he's a business coach for dog owners, and he is he swears, he's deliberately controversial, but that has worked brilliantly for him because he's done a great job of differentiating himself and appealing to people that enjoy that and enjoy the less seriousness and are willing to have a bit more fun and humor about it all. But on the flip side, that's going to turn a lot of people off. But Dom knows that and he's happy with that. So you have to think about how you're going to differentiate yourself. And I don't mean that's the only, I don't mean that that's the only factor, right? But yeah, I think that's an important consideration.
Yeah, and if you're creating animal training content and it's authentic and it's coming from you, just know that in and of itself is differentiating yourself. There is, me and Nick can have podcasts that are got similar formats because we've talked about formats today, have similar guests, but Nick is Nick and I am Ryan. And that is in and of itself differentiating us from each other. And some people are going to resonate with Nick more. Some people are going to resonate with me more. So once again, if you want to put content out there on animal training and you remember the goal is to help more animals and help more people, perfection can be the enemy of good enough sometimes. Good enough gets results. You know, and that's been my philosophy with Animal Training Academy. I know other people that I really respect and I look up to and I call mentors don't necessarily think like that. And they work really hard to fine-tune some of the stuff they put out. So I'm not saying I'm right there. I'm saying it's worked for me. And so maybe it won't work for you. And I think there's pros and cons to being perfectionist versus being a little bit more lenient on that kind of stuff. The other thing I want to say there, though, is if you put stuff out there, if you're writing a blog post or you're writing a This is just something that I've learned over time, Nick, so I'd be interested to hear your input on it. And or doing a blog post or writing or doing a podcast, whatever, and you're using someone else's content, that's not differentiating yourself if you're just saying it as verbatim what they would say or very close to. So if you are going to do that, I think that that's actually fine, but you 100% have to give credit where credit's due. And the respectful and professional thing is to reach out to those people before you do it and let them know that you're doing it. Make sure they're okay with it and if they have any input on how they want to be represented.
Yeah, let me recommend a book there because why not? Because we're all geeky. There's a great book by a guy called Austin Kleon, which is really easy to read, and it's called... oh, God, I've got it on my bookshelf. Still like an artist, right? So we can take inspiration from people, but we do have to credit. That's extremely important. And also, it doesn't take anything away from you, right? Like, you can be... everyone is inspired by someone. There isn't an original idea, right? No one has came up with an original idea. Like, well, at the start of this podcast, we're talking about engagement training. I'm big on engagement training. I love engagement training. I've done my best to kind of add my own take on it. But I didn't just come out of that up with that out of the blue, right? People were already doing that. And that would have influenced, like, people were doing that in the sports world. And that would have influenced my thinking. Even if I wasn't directly thinking about that, that would have definitely have come into my thoughts. I didn't come up with that on my own. I remember seeing a post years ago by Pauline Jackson, and she was talking about check-ins, right? So check-ins came into my consciousness through Pauline, and then I started doing auto check-in stuff, and I know there's other people that have done that. There is no such thing as an original idea. So don't be afraid to be inspired by people, but you have to credit. And to go back to what you were saying, Ryan, as well, about being yourself, I think I talk about authenticity a lot. Authenticity, personally, is this just me? I find it extremely important to be authentic. I don't know. It's just a value of mine that I think is extremely important. So if you're kind of someone that is like making content and if you're someone that's making content and you're like some tattooed punk person, like, don't write a blog and like try to be super corporate and not yourself. Like, people will resonate far more with you if you just be yourself. Like, there's nothing worse than seeing someone trying to play a character. I don't know, it just doesn't resonate at all.
I do behind the scenes videos for my members in the Animal Training Academy members only Facebook page, and we had a little video I put up the other day with me talking to Leslie McDivitt doing a pre-podcast conversation, and my wife came in and she said, "You can't put those videos up because I just shot from my webcam," and he's like, undies hanging up in the background and there's like paper strewn all over the desk, and I'm like, nah, man, like, I disagree, because that is authentic. Like, who, like, if we said to everyone, you listening to this podcast now, take a photo of your desk, what would it look like? It wouldn't be this polished thing. And for me, like, it's been really important to the best of my ability. And you place yourself in a spot of vulnerability here sometimes if you do this. Just be honest as well. And especially if you're talking about animal training and emotions and struggling to train something, for example. You might be a person who works with clients and teaches aggressive and reactive dog stuff, techniques to work with those animals and help them be more successful. But you might have a reactive and aggressive dog at home that you're struggling to work with. I think the authenticity can come through that as well, because what I found when I've done that and people have done that is there's a lot of people in the same boat as you because they're discs.
Well, look at John McGuigan, right? Like, John has courses on aggression, but he doesn't pretend that he's got perfect dogs. Right, like, he blogs about his journey of rehabilitating or training or whatever you want to call it, his dog Logan. He doesn't try and hide that from people. He doesn't try and like pretend that his dog is a robot or never makes a mistake. And that's what I think people admire about John, and that's what they love about John. And Yeah, and I think that really resonates with people, and it would be a crime to try and hide that away from people. Or, like, you know, you see those Facebook posts where someone will put up a video of them training, and then there will be, like, an asterisk under the description. It's like, oh, I know that my click was a little bit late at 1:36. And it's like, dude, calm down. Like, we all make mistakes. No one cares, and if they do care, you shouldn't, right? You should not care about someone that is going to get on you because you clicked a little bit late on one of your repetitions. So just be a bit brave about being yourself, and if people complain, just ignore them. Ignore the naysayers, and you've said that to me before, Ryan, about ignoring the naysayers. So I think that, you know, that's something that I think you believe in as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but it's at the same time, I'm by no means saying it's an easy thing to do. If you put content up of animal training and/ what you're doing, and you might have a specific purpose for that. You might want to just share what you're doing, or you might be looking for specific input or offerings from whatever space you're putting that content up. There are going to be people that come in and potentially make it uncomfortable for you with regards to some of the things they say. And I think ignoring it, you know, I want to offer something practical for people. How do we ignore it? Like, how do we get around the human side of absorbing that information? And you know, I don't actually know what to say here. For me, I've always thought and this is paraphrased from a book called Crucial Conversations, and the paraphrase quote is, "The only right I have to express my opinion is to be equally vigorous in encouraging others to share theirs, and do what Steve White says and get curious. If someone's offering you that input, why are they offering that input? And also just a word on social media, if you are posting your stuff, your animal training stuff on social media, choose wisely, I think, as to where you post it.
Well, that's an interesting conversation to have. I think if you're recall training in a different way to me, then I'm going to point out why I don't like that method and why I think is flawed. And through doing that, I can't understand the mechanism behind it, but in a convoluted way, there are people that get reinforcement from that, from pointing out the wrong in something. So you kind of have to acknowledge that and then decide how you want to deal with it. And that's a personal decision. And I've seen people do it in different ways. And I think that is a very personal decision. My friend Dom, who I mentioned earlier, he just roasts them, right? Like, he just has fun with it. He will just basically roast them. That's not for everyone, and that's fine. And Dom's willing to face consequences of that. Then there are people that are more tactful, right? Like, John McGuigan is very patient, right? Like, he will just tell you he's not having this conversation with you if you're going to be rude, and if you are going to be polite, he will have the conversation with you. And then you have other people that will just block them straight away. And I'm not sure that there is a right or wrong answer, because at the end of the day, you're in charge of policing your content and you have to decide what works best for you.
Yeah, I think for me, it's an opportunity cost. Like, I try to the best of my ability to figure out what the motive of the other person is. Is it to be helpful? Are they seeking mutual purpose and mutual respect in this space? If I doubt that, then I think, okay, if I invest an hour in this, 30 minutes in this, what could I have been doing alternatively? And would that alternative activity be helping more people and helping more animals? And often I find the answer is the alternative is a better use of my time. And each for their own. And I just want to acknowledge again, I think this stuff's easier said than done. So I'm by no means saying that's an easy mental challenge or hurdle to overcome. Hey, number one was define the focus and goal of your show. Number two was figure out who your audience is. I said show there, but your show and social content, if you're doing blogs or something else. Number two is working out who your audience is. And remember, you know, we can do this beforehand, and I think there's benefit in thinking about it, but you can also help carve this out as you start creating content. Number three, based on the above, what is the best format for you? Do you want to place yourself as the thought leader? Do you want to be surrounding yourself with smarter people? Do you want a hybrid? Do you want something else? Differentiate yourself was number four. What are your own personal goals? Have we covered that one, Nick, or is that what we're up to?
No, we haven't gone over that yet.
So I think we did, in the interest of time and opportunity costs.
Yeah. No worries. We can go ahead if you like.
Yeah, well, I think we talked about it with regards to, we got selfish reasons for doing the podcast. I mean, it's freaking fun, right? And we...
It's kind of overlapped with the first question,
I think so. But figure out what you want. Do you want to create content because you want to bring people to your website so that they can become aware of your online course? Is that what you want? Or do you want... I know people who do podcasts who have very few people who listen to it apart from a group of really dedicated listeners, but they're not creating it to create a big audience. They're creating it because they like to geek out about training and there's a small group of people that like to listen to them. But that's not their goal. And so I think figuring out what your personal goal is important. Number six.
Yeah, absolutely. Agree.
Do you have something to add there, Nick?
No, I completely agree.
Number six, let's get boring. But in the interest of perfection is the enemy of good enough, and good enough gets results. You've got to figure out your tech stack and how you're going to make this work. How important is kind of getting all the tech stuff ready, Nick? Like, what's your journey been like there?
Well, yeah, maybe we should both describe how we started and where we are now. So where I started was I paid for a program called Pamela, which records Skype calls. And I used that for about 10 or 12 episodes. And what I had issues with was that sometimes because of internet connections and stuff, you would either get the audio tracks would either be out of sync, and because it recorded as one MP3 file, there was basically no way of fixing it. So that was extremely frustrating. Or I had one instance in which it just didn't record at all. So when it didn't record at all, and I didn't really have good, I didn't really have a satisfying response from the customer service, I just thought, you know, I've got to find a different way of doing this. So now what I've done is I use, this is getting very technical, but it's kind of unavoidable, so I hope that people can follow me here. So now I use a Zoom H1 microphone, and I have a double-ended cable. So that double-ended cable will go from the Zoom microphone to the laptop. So that makes it record. So I can set it up to record the Skype call, essentially. And then I have a double-ended headphone jack so that I can listen to the person talk as I record. And then I have a microphone so I can record my own voice, and I do that with Audacity. So that's my recording setup. In fact, Ryan, what I do, because that is all a little bit hard to wrap your head around, is I'll find a link that explains that, because I read an article on that, so you can shove that in the show notes for people that want to check that out.
Yeah.
So that's worked great for me so far. I haven't had any issues with that, so that has been a far more satisfying approach for me. But it did take a bit more heavy investment. I can't remember exactly how much the Zoom H1 microphone is. It's not outrageous, but it costs more than just buying Pamela. How about you, Ryan? How are you going about it?
Well, do you know what I love? I have a podcast. I have a membership about animal training, and we geek out about animal training. And I'm also part of memberships myself. I'm actually part of a membership about running a membership. And I absolutely love it because they're my people. They talk about the things that keep me awake at night, you know, my problems. And they teach me how to help more animals and help more people by creating a more efficient membership. Now, there is a membership, or there is a service about podcasting. There are these dudes called the Podcasting Guys, and they have broken down every little aspect of how to create a podcast. So they will have reviews of all the microphones, they'll have recommendations, they'll have pros and cons. So I use a Blue Yeti. It's a very popular microphone. I use Zoom. We're talking on Zoom right now, and my guests and myself both record separately our audio files on our computers, and it works really well. If you listen to my earlier episodes, I use Google Hangouts, and it's horrible and it's ugly and I hate it. The aliens took over, like, frequently. But I'm going to link to the Podcast Guys. I think it's called the Podcast Guys. I'll put it in brackets if it's not. If it's called something else. A guy called Colin Gray and a few others make that. And that's just, it's just, if you're interested in something, if you're interested in animal training, cool. You know, you find your tribe. If it's Animal Training Academy, great. If it's Nick's stuff, great. If it's someone else's, great. But if you're interested in something else, in 2018, there's a membership about everything. and so all of the information's out there, and what we're doing, I mean, there's 101 ways more to kind of connect microphones and use software and do this and that and the other. But what do you think about that? Is that a good way to help people, Nick?
The way that you record, I mean, it sounds like a simplistic approach. It's not one I've used myself, so I can't really comment. Or did I miss a question
there? Oh, no, I was just talking about linking people to the podcast, guys, rather than us trying to, like...
Oh, right, yeah. That, yeah, I think that that's the sort of thing where an article is a lot easier to follow than audio, right? Because they can link you to all the right products, they can tell you how to set it up, whereas purely audio, that's quite difficult to explain.
So maybe that comes...
But if you read, there are some articles that really break it down very well, so don't freak out about that, because it's not that complicated once you kind of get your head around it.
Yeah, and we've recorded episodes on people's computer microphones. If you've got an iPhone or you've got a smartphone, you don't need an iPhone, smartphone, you're good to go. You are literally good to go. And then you can build on that stuff. You can get it going forward. So number one, define the focus. Number two, build your audience. Number three, decide the format of your show. Number four, differentiate yourself. Number five, what are your personal goals? And number six, figure out your tech stack.
Ryan, just on the technical side, yes, of things as well, if you pick up a Zoom microphone and you want to do a you're the expert type format, then you are, even with an iPhone, you can do it. But with a Zoom microphone, you are just set. Literally, all you do is press the record button. And there are lots of big podcasters, and that's exactly what they do. They just have a Zoom microphone. They can do that when they're on the road and they're in hotels and stuff. You literally just press the big red button, record, and stop when you're done. So, that comes back to the format as well. Because obviously, if you're not doing an interview-style podcast, you don't even have to worry about recording anyone else. So that makes it simpler. But I cut you off then, because I know the next one we're going to go to is appreciating timing.
Do you want to talk about that?
So there's a lot to cover in this, because... Okay, so where do we start? This is the schedule of release, right? Like, how often are you going to release these podcasts? Now, actually, I know Ryan does this a little bit differently to me, although I think we both release weekly, if I remember correctly, which is a nice kind of medium, I think, in terms of it's relatively easy to keep up with. And it's good to have a schedule because that allows people to know when the next one's going to come out and not just kind of constantly waiting. But for me, I batch them, right? So I try to have a few podcasts in the bank, so to speak, so that I am essentially a few weeks or over a month ahead, which just kind of helps me to relax a little bit. And also recording on a more regular basis, I find helps me keep podcasting. Because I have to constantly think about it. I have to constantly find new guests for the show. Whereas if I record weekly, then I tend to fall off the wagon more because maybe I just have a really busy week and I just tend to leave it to the last minute and then it doesn't get done. But on the flip side, Ryan, I know you do that very successfully. So that probably comes down to personalities.
Yeah, I think the big things are depending on your goals, right? No, number eight is marketing. And I think we'll kind of skip over that one because we've talked about that. You know, are you using your podcast to draw attention to yourself and your other activities? That's kind of what number eight is about, or your online content. Remember, we're not just talking about podcasts. You might be doing blogs or you might be doing some other kind of online animal training content. But I think one thing that has kept me motivated this whole time, because you might be using it for marketing and you might be using it to attract people to your other activities, but sometimes your other activities aren't going well, especially when you're getting started and you might be learning the ropes and creating online content or making your on the ground. I mean, you might create a podcast and then you might use Facebook advertising, or you might create blog posts about animal training and you might use Facebook advertising to put that in front of people that live in your local town, and you might use that to grow your dog walking business or your animal training, your dog training business in your local town. You might talk about positive reinforcement and how to solve a common issue that dog owners have, like jumping up or something, and you might just send that to people that live in your area and they might then think of you next time they have a problem. So that's kind of how it fits into that marketing thing. Now, but if you're using it to reach kind of a bigger audience, then one thing that's really motivated me is just this thought of showing up. And even if things aren't going well, just I've always just thought about showing up. Just show up. Just no matter what, show up week after week, month after month, year after year. That's kind of been my mantra, that I don't want to skip that. And I want to kind of make a promise to the podcast audience, you out there, that we're going to get you high quality information about animal training on a weekly. And I know a lot of people look forward to the ATA show, and I'm assuming that it's exactly the same for you, Nick. Your audience are looking forward to those episodes going out. Then you have to decide, okay, if you're going to do that, if you're going to show up, like, that's a big commitment to show up every week. If you're writing a blog post, you've got to come up with fresh ideas, you've got to get fresh guests. So you have to also look at your life and go, does this make sense? What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, you covered a lot there. So in terms of...
I just put a blanket question. What do you think, Nick, about the 20 things I just said?
Yeah, so, I mean, just to go back to the start of your 20 things... marketing, I have found any kind of content that you can send clients that are maybe on the fence tends to help greatly, right? So I've had a hell of a lot of clients that are maybe on the fence about doing sessions, and they're thinking about it, and they kind of leave you with like the indefinite, oh, let me ask my husband, or let me ask my wife, or there's some kind of like get out, which is absolutely fine. So at which point I would say to someone, well, no worries. Say that someone has called me about recall problems. No worries. Go away. Have a think about it. But why don't I take your email address? I'll send you over some free information on my engagement guide, and you can have a read of that in the meantime and get back to me. So if your content is made well, then what people are generally going to do is they're going to check that out because it's free. And then they're going to go, oh, actually, this guy's really good. And then especially in a week or so, when their dog has ran away two more times, right? That's when they tend to give you a call. So that can be a really great way of getting clients that are on the fence, having some kind of content to send them. I've had great success with that. So that was my response to one of your points about marketing. The other thing you said is showing up. And I kind of want to get into this in the podcast that we're going to do together, Ryan, on my show. But one of the things I found very inspirational that you told me about was you have a question that you ask yourself every time you wake up at like 5 a.m. or whatever the hell you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I've got up at 5 every morning, apart from when I'm on holiday or break, for like 4 or 5 years. Everyone's sleeping. It's so quiet in the house.
You're like Mike Tyson. Yeah. That's what Mike Tyson used to do. He used to get up at like 3 a.m. and he used to go jogging. And when he was asked about it, he said, I know that my enemy isn't jogging at 3 a.m. So it's like a mental thing for him. Although we have the abundance mindset. I know. But in terms of maybe self-development, because you're kind of fighting yourself, right? Like you're fighting the lazy part of you that just wants to stay in bed.
Well, for me, and with regards to showing up for you, the Animal Training Academy audience, and making sure that I'm delivering on it's not a promise. Like, you know, I want this just to be part of your enjoyable life. And so the promise and the emphasis is all on me to fulfill that promise. But when business maybe is not going well, or you've got some massive challenges to overcome with regards to learning about running a business or doing this, that, and the other, you don't have much money coming in. You know, you're going to, you know, literally me going to my mum's house and asking for money so I could keep on with my dream and my goal of creating what we've done at Animal Training Academy. And I say we because it's out of my hands now, being run and created and built upon by the amazing members. Is that when you wake up that in the morning, it's not just that it's 5 o'clock, it's that the stuff you're doing is not really like generating like the income that you want, and you're struggling to kind of make ends meet. But showing up was so important for me there. I just said to myself, what do you want, Ryan? Do you want to sleep, or do you want to make a successful business that helps more animals and help more people? And as soon as I asked that question, the split second I asked that question, I got out of bed. And so kind of gone off on a tangent there. But, yeah, show up. Show up. Hey, number nine, Nick, just looking at the time.
Hey, you can't jump over that, Ryan.
number nine is...
I love that. No, I love that, Ryan.
Oh, thank you.
And we're going to go more into your story on my podcast. So that's something people can check out, because I know that a lot of you that listen to Ryan's podcast, you listen to Ryan interview people every week, and Ryan maybe doesn't necessarily share as much of himself as the same as me. Like, that's just part of being an interviewer, right? Like, your job is to get the other person's story out. So that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to about interviewing you, Ryan, because I know from talking to you over the last few weeks, you have a hell of a story, like, and you're a very motivational person. And as you talk, like, you're quoting books that you've read, like, that's inspirational. Like, you've done a lot. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that.
Thanks, man.
And you have done number nine, because number nine is make the show highly reinforcing for your guest.
And yourself.
Right. So, Ryan, how have you done that?
You know, I think for me and my own personal goals, it's not just been about the main thing that Animal Training Academy, the reason Animal Training Academy exists, the why we call it of Animal Training Academy, is to help more people and help more animals. That's why we have an existence in this world. But those other personal goals that I have that are about building my network and just, I mean, this is what I do, is hang out with you. you know, that's my own personal goal. That's kind of the life I wanted to create. But I see it now as it's that is so reinforcing for me, because I think you're going to make it reinforcing if you're going to go down that kind of route of having other experts come in and share to the pool of meaning, then you got to make it reinforcing for them. But you've also got to make it reinforcing for yourself. So part of doing that now is as you said, you are great friends of your podcast guests now. It's a journey for me. It's not just about this podcast. I mean, I make sure that the guest understands everything that they can to the best of my ability, that they're happy with everything, they've had their say, and I spend time really nurturing that relationship, and I just try to make it, I mean, and it's reinforcing for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah, this is a big one to go for as well, right? Because you're going to deal with objections if you have an interview style podcast. And that doesn't necessarily mean I don't want to come on your show because you suck. It just means I don't like, for example, I did this today, right? Like, I've been through this today. So this is how often it happens. I'd love to come on your show, but I'm really nervous. Like, maybe they haven't done a podcast before, because a lot of people haven't, right? Like, it comes back to this being like a new medium. So people are really nervous about doing a podcast. Maybe they think, if they haven't listened to the podcast, then maybe they think I'm going to, like, you know, grill them, right? Like, I'm going to ask, or I'm going to try and set them up to fail or something. I don't know. But I think there is a very nerve-wracking experience. So that's one of the things that you have to overcome. How can I make this person comfortable with the idea of podcasting, right? Like, one of the things that one of the strategies that I use for people that are nervous is, well, I'll give you the first question. Okay, I don't pre-plan questions. Mine is completely non-scripted. But if you're really nervous, I'll tell you the first question. So, you know, you have some preparation, so you can just kind of get into the swing of it, right? Like, you're not, because that's when you're at your most nervous, right at the beginning. And then you can relax into it, and we can have a good time. The other thing is being organized, right? Like, how much of your time am I going to take up? How are we going to record this podcast? How do I record the podcast, right? Like, all of these questions need to be answered so that people aren't stressing out and they're not doing it last minute.
Yeah, make the journey as seamless for guests, if you have guests, as possible. So let's go through that list. And I've got one more question for you, Nick, before we wrap this up. Thank you for that offering just then. Number one was to find the focus and goal of your show. Number two is figure out who your audience is. Number three, figure out the format that you want to use for your show or your online content. Number four, differentiate yourself. Number five, figure out what your personal goals are. Where do you want to be in 12 months? What do you want your life to look like? Number six, figure out your tech stack. Yep, that's the boring side. Number seven, appreciate timing and how often does this fit into your life? How does it make sense with all the other stuff you got going on? Number eight, dum da da dum. Marketing, number 9, make the process reinforcing for you and anyone, not just your guest, anyone involved, to the best of your ability. To the best of your ability. And don't beat yourself up if you slip up, I guess, as well, because I know I have over time.
Yeah, we all have, yeah. You will do. It's part of the process.
Sadly, Nick, now that does bring us to the end of this episode. Before we wrap up, though, one thing we like to do on this show, before we end, is ask our guests to take us into the future. We started off with where you got going with Chester the Labrador. What would you like to see happen, though, moving forward over the next 5 to 10 years in the animal training world?
Well, I'm involved in pet dog training primarily. So I deal with pet dog owners. I've been dealing with pet dog owners as a professional trainer for about 6 years, more than that as an amateur, because I was a complete idiot. I remember I did my first one-to-one when I was about 16. It was awful. But I've been involved with this. I've been helping pet dog owners. So I know that the problems that they're having. And I am convinced that the biggest thing that we can do to help pet dog owners is teach them to be more engaging with their dogs. That's going to help their relationship. That's going to solve a huge amount of the problems that they have with their dogs. I'm convinced that that is the future of pet dog training, right? And this is something that is being chronically underspoken about in our industry. People aren't thinking about it. People are still doing the old-fashioned recall training, and that has its place. I'm not saying dispel that completely, but we need to think about how can we improve the people's relationship with their dogs. How can we get them having fun with their dogs beyond just throwing a ball off a ball launcher or being dragged down the street? And that's what engagement training is all about, and that's where I see the future for pet dog owners and pet dog trainers.
And in the future, you can learn all about this in Nick's up-and-coming book. Hey, Nick, thank you so much for sharing everything. Just before we do officially wrap up, and to build on what I just said, we mentioned it at the start of the episode, but could you please just remind everyone listening where they can go to find out more about you and what you do and get in touch?
Yeah, so the best place to find out, there's a few good places. So my website is nickbenger.com. You can also find me on Facebook as Nick Benger. I have a profile and a page under that name. Feel free to add me or just like the page. And then to find out more about my podcast, you need to throw over kind of an invitation to join the group, which is Dog Talk with Nick Benger podcast discussion group. The great thing about that is we talk about the episodes, and also I always post the episodes there first. So as soon as they come out, you can see that they've been released and you can go and check them out.
Awesome. So let's make up some hashtags. We've got one for Hannah. It's called hashtag hop over to Hannah. So I try to use that every time I post about Hannah. We've got hashtag leap over to Laura if I post something about Laura Monica Torelli. So how about we come up with hashtag nerd over to Nick if we if we link to Ryan. Mine's, by the way, is hashtag ripple over to Ryan.
Oh, that's smart. I thought you were gonna say run, but ripple suits you more, actually.
We're all about ripples.
Nick is a difficult one, I think.
Nerd out with Nick is great.
Nerd out with Nick is good. I feel like I need to rename my podcast now.
Yeah. Nerd out, what would you rename it as? Oh, hashtag nerd over to Nick.
Oh no, nerd out with Nick.
Nerd out with Nick. Yeah. Maybe that's,
it kind of goes now. Maybe that's, the only thing is it's not immediately clear that is a dog training podcast. That's what I'd worry about, but no worries.
And in the interest of perfection is the enemy of good enough, and good enough gets your results, I know you've got a nice little graphic for your podcast. Mine's just my head. Like, I've never actually changed my podcast image. There's a photo of me doing a bird show, a free flight bird show in a zoo in Australia, and it's just a screenshot on my head of a microphone. It must be so. And so look out. Maybe that's a disclaimer. I put it out there to the world now. You know, that's my messy desk. It's my underwear hanging up in the background.
Well, it is, but it's also an open invitation to the listeners of your show to someone make this guy a logo, for Christ's sake.
I just haven't gone to the process of uploading it to my podcast. But now, you know, we're like 70 in deep now, so people know that icon. Like, I can't change it. It's my head.
I think at some point I'm going to get mine redesigned. Mine was just a kind of like something that was thrown up in a moment. So I feel like we can do better.
I like yours. Yours is good.
No, thank you very much.
Maybe I'll just stick the Animal Training Academy logo like on the side of my head. Hey, thanks for sharing where people can get in touch. We're going to link to all of this in the show notes. Nick, this has been so much fun. From myself and on behalf of everyone listening, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today, to hang out last week and geek out about this show and send messages back and forth. It's really appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan. I loved it. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I'm a fan of the show anyway. I listen to the show, so it's great to have the opportunity to join you on a show. I'm one of the few fans that has got the opportunity to jump on the show and actually have a back and forth with you, so I love that. And that's why I started podcasting, and that's why these people need to start podcasting, because one day you might be being interviewed by Ryan. So get your content up. Thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's very reinforcing, Nick, and hashtag nerd over to Nick and check out his show as well. We do, of course, really appreciate all of you tuning in today. If you've enjoyed this episode and you are interested in carrying on the conversation about podcasting, blogging, working with our animals in the most positive, funnish, choice-rich ways, then as mentioned at the start of the episode, the Animal Training Academy community is waiting for you. Head on over to www.animaltrainingacademy.com. And click on the membership button in the main menu to learn more about what members are describing as the Netflix social media platform for behavior nerds. There's something there for absolutely everyone, and we're looking forward to having you join the tribe. That's it for this episode, though. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks again so much for listening, everyone. You'll hear from us again soon.